There was this woman that came in and she was abused. And you could see it on her face. You could see it in her hair. You could see it in her body. You could see it in everything. And this guy started he was just working on the body. He was just changing her body. But when he was finished with her, I could see it coming into her eyes. Because she felt worthy. She was beautiful. And you know what? Sometimes we are so badly abused. I've seen men, and then in Afrikaans they said, "De opatitis a maniki." You know why he's so pathetic? Because he has a wife behind him that's not honoring him. And I'm telling you this morning, women, don't always go down the route of we are so abused, our men don't love us. What about you honoring your husband? What about you honoring men in positions? What about you honoring people in leadership positions? This is not something that we could ask, may I do or shouldn't I do it? It's a command of the Most High God. When Jesus spoke to men and women, he said to the men, love your wives. Because God knew that woman just needs love. Women can just be fixed by just loving them. But you know what he said to the wives? Respect your husband unconditionally. If you expect your husband to love you unconditionally, even with your temper rages or your monthly things, can you respect him if he makes a mistake? Can you take his hand and say, I'll walk with you? I know there was a mistake, but let's walk together. Because that's what God planned for you. And this morning I also want to speak about the soul. You know, and if people's abused, they are often without hope in their souls, their spirit. You know, and you often hear them saying, where is God? He's a God of love, but look what's happening to me. You know, God owes us nothing. But his grace is so great. When my husband was in hospital, he said he was in heaven. We all thought he was busy dying. And when a few weeks after that, when he recovered, he came to me and he says, you know, I was in a place of light, but grace. He says it in Afrikaans, die genade loop dik daar. And you know what? I could see it in his life. This past year after his sickness, I can see it in his life. He can't walk properly. He can't go to the bathroom himself. He sometimes asks me to help him to eat. But when people talk to him, he says, God is great. And he's never moaning. And it's such a pleasure for me to take care of him because he's such a fantastic patient. And you know what? I saw that yes, God is our hope. And if you are here this morning and your soul is wrecked and you feel, where is God? I want to tell you this morning, even Jesus said that. On the cross he says, my Father, why have you forsaken me? But you know what? Jesus was victorious. So he comes this morning and he tells you, hang in there. I will be there for you. And Jesus, you know, this is something that we as Christians must learn, and we must learn it quickly. In the past, we were often told that if you become a Christian, I mean, you in paradise. Ha, ha. I want to tell you, when you become a Christian, you become a soldier. And I've never heard of a war in paradise. So this morning, I want to tell you people, we've got to get real. We are living in the times when things are getting worse. Persecution is coming. Are you going to run with the flow? Or are you going to stand up as a victorious soldier in the army of the Most High God. Then you better start learning in your little things that you're in your own home. Your little things that happens to you these days that you say, why is God allowing this to happen to me? God is training us for victory. So take up your sword and take up your shield and walk in victory. Then the next thing is the mind. You know, when people abuse their minds, they lose their self-image. You can see it in their whole thing. They walk, the way they speak. Sometimes in rebellion, sometimes in depression, sometimes in anger, sometimes in suicide. But their minds are being really tortured because of abuse. Now, I thought, when I was thinking about this, I thought you can actually look at this problem from two sides. You can look at it from the side of speaking for the abused. I'm maybe a welfare worker or whatever I am, and I'm or a charity worker, and I help these people. But you know what? When are we going to teach them to fish themselves? So this morning, I want to speak to us as a church, but also as people that might be abused. And I want to speak from the point of view helping the abused to speak for themselves. It's the time is over when we as Christians keep quiet. You know, if I look at the world and my own brother, he's a Christian. And I spoke to him the other day, and we spoke about when you die. And he said, you know, he can't understand why we must learn all these lessons. Yeah, he loves the Lord, and yes, he learns all these lessons, and now it comes from God, but what for? And I was astonished. We were taught by the same mother. We went to the same church as children, and I couldn't... Where are you? And I wanted to cry. You know... How can you think that what we learn here on earth is just for this earth? Our time on earth is so small. Eternity is endless. What are we going to do there? We're going to use the things that God taught us now to be victorious and be kings and queens living in His kingdom and working for Him. God says, you are going to rule and reign with me. How can we rule and reign if we're not trained? So people, you are all in university now. Training for eternity. So be joyful. Start doing it. And the next thing I also want to say that in the word it says that those who keep on keeping on, they are the ones who are going to be saved. Even the elect could fall in the last days. So let's become strong and not moaners moaning at God. So now there's just one verse that I want to read to you. It says in Matthew 24 verse 13, the one who endures to the end will be saved. And to me this is such a wonderful verse. And then I have three sayings that I found in books. And the first one says, are you going to allow your past to rule your future? Are you still going to feel sorry for yourself because you were abused? I've been abused. And for years I allowed it to rule my life, to make me feel I'm not good enough. How could I stand before God? I've sinned many times. I've done bad things when I was younger. And even now, I'm sometimes so angry with my husband. And then God says, I told you, your job is not something great, but it's to take care of my precious child. And take care so that every second of every day, you will know that you've done just good unto him. And you know what? In the beginning it was hard because I want to do so many things. But don't let your past rule your future. Get rid of it. God has already forgiven you. The blood of Jesus is over it. So get going. Live for the now. And the next thing is, are you going to allow your abuser to rule your life, or are you going to choose to take control? A friend of mine, somebody really, really was, she took some money from a business and just to use, and she wanted to put it back at the end of the month. But she was found out, and she took about 5,000 rand, but she was asked to pay 25,000 rand in the end. And she was accused of many things that she was not guilty of. And she was very badly treated, very badly. But you know what? It happened about 20 or 30 years ago, and she still can't let go. God has blessed her, and it was so great that for years I've been praying for her that she would be released. And a week ago she came to me and she said, you know what, I realize I've got to forgive. This person died already, and she's ruling me from her grave. People, don't let other people rule your life from their graves. Live the life that God's intended for you. Then the next thing is, and this, I spoke to a lady that I walked with about 5 years. She was very depressed, very, very depressed, wanted to take her own life. And I walked with her nearly daily. And one day God, and I was always kind, and you know, tuma, and you know, okay, you can come and cry. And she came in the middle of the night, climbed through my window, cried, and I pampered and pampered her. And one day God said to me, this is enough. And I sat her down and I said, listen, God says, are you going to remain a pig in the mud? Or are you going to walk out clean, washed in the blood of the Lamb? It was hard for me to say it. It was hard, and she was furious. And she ran out of my house and she jumped into her car and she drove off, and I thought, she's going to kill herself, that's for sure. And I said, Lord, you told me to say this. You go with her. The next afternoon, here she comes, meek and mild. Are you angry with me? I said, no, I thought you were angry with me. And she says, you know, you spoke the truth. And I am going to climb out the mud because Jesus saved me. So please, people, with this attitude, I want to speak to you this morning about first the body. Jesus says our bodies is a temple of the Most High God. If you say that to a person that's just been abused, especially sexually, they don't feel like it at all. I can promise you. They don't feel like they are a temple of the Most High God. And therefore, I just see this one thing God showed me. Accept them. Love them. Because this woman that I walked with, she was abused as a child by her uncle. She was rejected by her parents. She was the seventh child of nine. She was arty girl, which just didn't fit in with her household. And then when she got married, she married a man that she slept with, and she thought, now she's got to marry him. Now can you see this whole thing? And then she was raped by a prisoner that was working in their garden. Now can you think what happened? Oh yes, and then she fell pregnant, and she had she went for an abortion. Another thing that was against her. So here she stands and she's so broken. And God says to me, just love her. Just walk with her. You know, it happened more than 10 years ago. You should see her now. Radiant. So bold in Christ, so close to the Lord, so childlike obedient. She comes to me sometimes. She says, you know what? I think God says I'm just silly. Or she comes to me, she smoked a lot so that she would, she smoked so that she would die. She wanted to smoke so that she, her lungs would perish and she will die. So she came to me and she says, I never spoke about the smoking habits. And she came to me and she says, you know, I think I must stop smoking. See, God does the work. If we do it, we bring rebellion. So what we do is we pray. And this is why intercession is so powerful. Because if we pray into people's lives and we just love them, we show them Jesus' love. If we are always angry with them and we always shout at them, your teenagers, if you also always shout at them and you never listen to them, they are not going to think that God is great. We are Jesus to this world. Are you? Are you Jesus to this world? Yes, we must speak out when there's something wrong. But we need to love. And we need to separate this. We need to separate the sin from the sinner. Yes, what you did is wrong. But you are, I love you still. I still respect you. When are we going to start listening to them? When are we going to stop? That's what I did. I always, my teenagers, I always used to tell them what to do and what not to do. So because I was scared they would go the route I went. And you know what? My daughter sat me down one day. She said, Mommy, stop giving me advice. Just listen to me. So I want to tell you people who have teenagers in your homes, stop talking. Listen. And you know, sometimes it's a good thing to say to them, now what do you think? How are you going to solve this problem? Put the ball in their court. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. So now, yeah, that's the temple. Do not accuse. Leave God to do the job. And you know what was so amazing this week? I read a book about Jacob. And you know, God chose Jacob when he was still a liar. He was cheating and God chose him. He was doing all these funny things, but God chose him. And through his life, God slowly developed him. And all the bad things that Jacob thought happened to him actually formed him to come to that place when he was fighting with Jesus himself in the night. And he said, I will not leave you until you've blessed me. And that changed his life. And only then Jacob started walking. Now, the same with Joseph. I mean, there's Joseph, this guy. I mean, my dad's for me. And look at my clothes. And I'm just the guy. But you know what? When Joseph was sitting in that pit, God was with him. And God slowly taught him and brought him out of that and developed him into the prince of Egypt, ruling over God's people, saving God's people. So yes, let's help those people to stand up. And I just want to say something. And I want to say this to women, because this is a mistake I made. When your husband is not in the, or men, when your wife is not in the place where God, where you think God wants them to be, stop interfering. You're messing up God's work. Love them and just pray for them. You'll be surprised. If I think, I must tell you this. When we, long ago, we were also in this hall, and my husband just refused, you know, it was just after the apartheid thing. And now he comes in here and he has lots of colored people, brown and black people, and he says to me, I don't know if I could do this. And this putting up of the hands and this, yeah, Carlos can laugh now. And I said, Lord God, I know we've got to be here. But Lord, you've got to change him. And I prayed. We sat there over there. And I prayed. And I said, Lord God. And I just loved him. And I just said, if you want to go, we can go. But in my heart, I prayed. And you know, God broke that. And he's colorblind now. Ask Carlos, he calls him his son. You must see, I still remember one woman one day coming to him, a brown lady, she came to him and she put his arm around. She says, ek het nooit gedink ek sou so lief raak vir 'n wit man nie. You know what? And this is what God has done in this congregation. To bring us to just be one before him. Brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that's why I want to say, stop interfering. God will do the job. Then the next thing is, when you were born, God the Father, even though you were not a Christian yet, God the Father equipped you with certain giftings. Certain things that you are good at. And therefore God says, I equip you for the job I want you to do. If you make a wrong choice, it's so sad because God have a special job in a special place for you. When we went to Kleinmond, I said, Lord, look here, I am going to change Kleinmond's children. Look, I'm going to work under those children. Ha ha. God put me in my house and I couldn't get out of it. And I said, Lord, not an intercessor. Please. Ha ha. God gave me 4 books on what? Intercession. What happens when women pray? And God showed me what a great job it is. So sometimes we think this is the way we should go. Be careful. There's another way to go. So, when we accept Jesus, then he and we become spirit-filled. Then the Holy Spirit empower those giftings of the Father for us to work in and to do what God wants us to do. The next thing I want to speak about the soul, the spirit, the part that belongs to God. Now, only the Spirit of the Most High God can renew our spirit through salvation. And therefore, we should come and pray for people so that the Spirit will start working in their lives. Can you see why intercession is so important? Because when we pray, the Spirit works. So if we want somebody's spirit to be renewed, we need to pray for them so that the Spirit will renew, not us. It's not my job. It's not your job. Our job is just to be witnesses and to pray. And then another thing, you know, what's so great about God? Our God's a gentleman, especially the Holy Spirit. He will never bash in your door. He comes gently and he urges you and he urges you. But you know, there comes a time when he's got to start acting. That happened to Saul, and Saul didn't want to listen. So people don't let I think God's heart aches when he's got to get to that point when he's got to say, enough is enough. And I want to ask you this morning, make sure that where you are now is really the place where God wants you to be. And then another thing about the Spirit is Jesus says in John chapter 15, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. And our spirit can only bear fruit if we abide in Christ. I don't know if there's farmers here, but you know that if a vine is cut off, the branch is cut off, it cannot bear fruit. I mean, all of us have gardens. So we know that we need to be in the vine. And therefore, people, Oppie says one thing always, klim op Jesus' skoot. And I want to tell you, every morning when you start the day, even if you're a big, strong man, just climb on Jesus' lap and just sit there. I remember when Obi was a teacher and the boys used to come to him with problems about their girlfriends or parents. He would sometimes sit down with them and say, just climb into Jesus' lap. And you know, this is such a great place. This past 2 years, I could really learn that, to sit at Jesus' feet. And you know, if you sit there, it's so refreshing. Just close your eyes and just focus on him. Please don't focus on nothing, because then somebody else is coming in. Please focus on him and him alone. Focus on his word and just rest at his feet, because that's where he wants you to be, to bless you. And then for the first fruit I want to talk about is the fruit of love. And I want to just say to you, you know, Jesus went to Mary Magdalene when she was there and they were busy stoning her. And everybody rejected her, because in those days, I mean, to do what she did was, today it's bad, but in those days it was terrible. And Jesus bent down and he lifted her up and he says, your sins are forgiven. Jesus loved her in spite of who she was, because Jesus saw and he knew what was built into her to serve the kingdom. He did the same with Peter. Peter denied him. Oh, and could Peter run ahead of time? When Carlos spoke this morning, that let's not run ahead of time and do things that we shouldn't do. Peter was good at that. But you know what? He became one of the great men of the church in the beginning, because Jesus saw the rock inside of him. And then the next thing was Thomas and Jacob. Think of all of those that Jesus had to forgive and release. And then I just want to, when I speak about love, I just want to read to you Ephesians 4 verse 32 that says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. Just listen to this. Forgiving one another, just as God through Jesus forgave you. Just as Jesus forgave you. Then the next thing I want to talk about is the joy of the Lord is our strength. I love that bit. Many times I've been really feeling down and I could see things coming down and I said, Lord, what now? And God says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I want you to learn, and you can only learn that if you sit at his feet, because then he puts his hand on your head. And have you seen a little child? When you put your hand on their heads, have you seen the smile coming on their faces? They just love it. They just love it. So sit at his feet in a quiet place daily. I want to ask you, do it every second of the day. Sit at his feet. God showed me one day, he was sitting on a throne like a daddy. And there was a little girl playing with girl playing with their blocks on the floor, little cars and toys, and the father was sitting down and he was smiling at them. And God says, this is how I want you to go about your daily work. Just play at my feet. Yes, you are busy. When I was still teaching, I was so busy I hardly had time to do anything else. But it was so great, because I was playing at my father's feet. And then he teaches you daily. The next thing is peace above all understanding. People, Noah was in that ark, and it was not a very great boat, and it was stormy weather, and there was no sight of land. But Noah had peace above all understanding, because he knew where he was going. He knew that he was in a place where God wanted him to be. And therefore, I want to say to you this morning, you can only have peace above all understanding if you are in the place where God wants you to be. So you better find out where that is quickly, if you are not in a place of peace. Because there is peace, I can assure you that. When my husband was in hospital and my brother-in-law was a doctor, told me, I don't think he's going to live until tomorrow morning. I cried out to God and I said, God, must I pray for him to be healed, or must I release him? You know what God says? Sit at my feet. I will make all the decisions. And he was healed. So I want to tell you this morning, I really knew what peace above all understanding was. So I'm telling you, be where God wants you to be. The next thing is patience. Oopsie. Not always easy. Especially those of us who are go-getters. We can't wait. But you know, I'm not talking about patience with other people. I'm talking with patience with God. Joanita du Plessis sings a song about Lazarus. And she, there's a part where she sings, God might be 4 days late, but he's always on time. And that's so true. Sometimes God waits a bit because he knows there's something better coming. So yeah, sometimes we've got to be patient. Sometimes I want to do something for God. I know God called me to the mission fields. But God says, wait. The time is not ready yet. So yeah, I can tell you of many people who went to the fields at the wrong time and things just didn't work out. They were not safe and all those. But if God goes with you, he keeps you safe. Then the next one is self-control. And that, I want to say to you, is a matter of choice. You don't have to be angry. Because my father was an angry man, I'm angry. Ha ha. You can choose not to be angry. Like you can choose not to fall before lust. You can choose not to fall before anger. You have a choice. And you know what? It happens to me now. Often when, you know, it's boring to every morning get up. Now you've got to wash your patient. Now you've got to feed him. Now you've got to take him to read his newspaper. You've got to make sure his glasses is clean. Boring. But you know what? Every time that thought comes into my mind and I become impatient, I've learned that there's just one thing to get rid of that thought. Jesus, your blood. Jesus, your blood. And I can promise you, if you plead the blood of Jesus over that thought, it will go. Because he is all powerful. Then the next thing I want to talk is about humility. Jesus was such a humble man. The Prince, the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, this walk with poor fishermen. He walked with the poor of the poor. He ate with the sinners because he knew what humility is. Because in humility is strength. In humility is victory. And that's what God asks us to do. And you know, you cannot walk in humility if you don't know who you are in Christ. If you are too sure of yourself, you cannot walk in humility. You must become completely dependent on him to get to that place. And the next thing is a sound mind. That's what in the word it says, renew your mind. The renewal of your mind. So, you know, us women as good as that. You know, a thought comes into your mind. You know, my husband's so ungrateful. And now I start pondering on it. And it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And by the time he gets home, I am a tornado. And I start shouting at him. And the same with the kids. Or a friend of mine says something and it triggers something in my mind. And I start brewing on it. God says, renew your mind. Stop that thought immediately. You are nothing. God says you must die. If you die, you're nothing. So start dying and start living. Because that's where God wants us to be. Not an easy place, but we're living in the times where we've got to be real. Now the last thing I want... My time. The last thing I want to talk about is the mind. Now this is where the war comes in. Because that's the one, the flesh. Oh, it's hard to fight that. And the more we feed the flesh, the more it's going to grow. And the more we feed the spirit, the more stronger that will become. So it's always about who are you feeding. And now I want to talk about this is the evil one's battlefield. Oh, he loves it. He's good at that rugby game. He has the ball and he plays, and we are willing to listen to what he says. That's where he works with us, in our thoughts. Now, a thought comes in my mind, now he says, oh, what a sinful thought. You are a real sinner. But you know what? It's his thought. It's not yours. Just plead the blood over it. Because he wants you to think that you are the sinner. Or you become angry and you become that thing exactly what Satan wants you to be. Let's become a soldier and fight him. It's not easy. It's very difficult. And then the first thing about how can we learn to bury this? How can we learn to fight this battle? By constantly burying the flesh. Every morning, God, I'm nothing before you. I bow before you. There's the place. Then I can stand up. And then I can be the person that God wants me to be. I just want to read to you this quote. Whenever God finds you to trust and obey Him absolutely, wholeheartedly, and continue to do so, then He will move in power. When you humble yourself, God will move in power, and He will be the one that will use you in His kingdom. The next thing is, after complete dependence on Him, complete dependence. Yoh, this is a lifetime battle. I promise you, you'll never really get to that place. Because you constantly find yourself, you know, when you're on pension, you learn this fast. You learn this very fast. Then I say, Lord, the medication's finished and it's not the end of the month yet. And Lord, there's no money. And I'm not so good at doing this, and now I've got to learn to do it. And then God says, trust me. And I say, God, but it's a lot of money. It's 1,000 rand, and where am I going to get it? If I pay 1,000 rand now, I don't have bread for the rest of the month. And you know what? God has provided amazingly. He's really taught me to depend on Him completely, and we live in abundance. We live with the joy of the Lord, and we have enough because God is our provider. And then the next thing is adoration. Complete adoration. You know, if you read the book of Esther, there's a book written by a man called, the book's name is Hadashah. If you could ever read that book, you'll learn about adoration. How Esther sat before God and says, God, I'm a Jewish girl, and I've got to marry this king now because I was born for a time such as this. And you know what God says to her? Adore Him. Lift Him up. And that's why she won the battle. That's why she became queen, because she made Him feel good about Himself. And this is what God says, adore Him. Adore the God of who really deserves to be adored. If we start adoring God and living adoration, He will give us the strength to go on. And then, you know, what is so amazing about our God that we adore? He is the light. He is light. Juanita sings the song about Vlieg hoër, and then she sings this line, hoog, hoog bo die son. So the sun is not part of the light. He's higher than the sun. He is brighter than the sun. This is how He created the earth, because He only created the sun later. He was there, the light. And we are serving Him, and no darkness. Have you ever seen darkness closing down light? No, if you close down the source, yes, but you can't close down the light. Light can never be conquered by darkness. So our God can never be conquered. Then the next thing is intercession. And you know, this is what God taught me. He said to me, you must start praying for people. There were specific people that He wanted me to pray for. And He said, and I said, Lord, how? Because I'm not very good at being an intercessor. And God says, Jericho. I said, Lord, how am I walk about around those people? They're far from here. God says, walk in the Spirit. And you know what God showed me? That if you walk in the Spirit, you start walking in the fruits of the Spirit. And you start walking in the giftings of the Spirit. And the first thing God says to me is, start prophesying over those people. Prophesy the fruits in their lives, even though they're not there yet. And so I started doing that, and I can tell you, I am amazed at what God is doing in those people's lives. Just because when I started, and the next thing is that we start forgiving those people, and we stand in the gap for them. We say, Father, I ask you to forgive that person as if you are the person. So you ask forgiveness for them, and then you wait on God, and he will do the job. Then the next thing is thank. We must live a thankful life. Like we so clearly saw what Saul and Silas did in the prison. Then the next one is waiting on the Lord so that he will show us the way. I have a cousin. They were missionaries in Sudan. And they were called back to South Africa. They worked for Open Doors, and he was called to work in head office, and he says, oh, he wants to go back. There's this tribe in Sudan and he wants to go there. And God says to him, no, you work here. And I was praying for them. I said, and God says to me, pray for them that they will be patient in what they're doing now to do it. You understand what I mean? Where you are now, do that well. When God's time is for that next thing to happen, he will show you. But stop moaning about what must I do over there. No. What you're doing now, do your best. That's what Joseph did. When he was in prison, he was the best prisoner. When he was working in Potiphar's wife, he was the best cleaner. When he was working, doing the job of counseling the king, he was the best counselor. So yeah, let's do what God wants us where we do now. And then the next thing is accept him as the one who equips you. Through his Holy Spirit, who empower you, who will remind you about things that he's taught you when you need it in a specific time. And the next thing is accept that God can use the worst for his eternal gain. Think, Jesus, the King of Kings, hanging on a cross. How could that be victory? But you know what we do today? Today we say that the cross is salvation. Can you see how God can change negative into positive? Yes, this world is full of negative, but God can change it into positive. Now, I just want to read to you this quote. God has a funny way of allowing us to get where he wants us to be, but it is never the way we think or expect it to be. Just listen carefully to his still small voice and obey unconditionally. And then the last thing I just want to read to you. In this world, you will have trouble. John 16. In spite of it, take heart, because I have overcome. Now, lastly, I just want to ask you this question. Jesus' last command was for us to make disciples. And this morning I want to ask you, are you making disciples? Are you taking somebody by the hand and walk with that person? Or are you just criticizing? Are you walking with somebody and helping them to get there? And then the next thing, are you criticizing the abused, or are you walking in love?